T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, did you pay attention to that music when we got the little intro?
No. You know who that was? I'm doing a read right now. Right here on AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, the ticket of radio.com station. Are you going to tell me or not what the music is? Go.
James Blake.
Okay. All right. Oh, because there's a musician named James Blake, right? Not the same guy.
Good, though.
Okay.
That you was got good,
the clever stuff, Tobin.
That was good, though.
It's that good. You got the Miami Open. Okay. It started a couple days ago. It's right down the road now. Hard Rock Stadium. So let's go to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores. Guest line truly steps beyond convenient. As James Blake, one of the all-time great tennis players, tennis pros, he's now the tournament director for the Miami Open. That was cute what they did right there, right, James? Where they played James Blake, the musician. Was that cute?
That is. I've never met that James Blake, but I've definitely heard about it plenty. I haven't heard much of his music, but the quick story before it even started is I once got a job just because I think people thought we were the same person.
Really?
They had me DJ a party. Yeah, they thought they had me DJ a party thinking that I was also a U.S. Open quarterfinalist and a famous, like, Grammy-winning DJ.
Side gig.
Wow, you're like a renaissance man. You're just
yeah, not realizing we're two completely different people.
So what was the playlist for James Blake, the tennis pro?
Well, that was where I probably should have caught on that they asked for my playlist, because I thought it was for a tennis party, for a U.S. Open party. So I thought they just wanted me to be there just to schmooze and, you know, talk to the guests, and it was a tennis party, and it turned out they really thought I was going to DJ it too, and they asked for my playlist, and it was whatever at that time was on my, that my playlist that I would go for a job with was what I sent to them for my playlist for that. I probably had a lot of 90s rap on it, if I had to guess.
What would have been awkward too is the fact that, like, James Blake is from England. So when you showed up and they started talking to you, it's like, wow, it's like a lot of singers that come over to the United States and start singing. They don't have an English accent.
Yeah, exactly. So it was, that was a wake up call for me. So I appreciate him. He got me a job one time.
well, again, James Blake here with us. Okay. Former tennis pro, of course, and now current tournament director for the Miami Open. So, how's this transition been? We know a lot of, you know, Brett here with us, he has had to transition from being a professional football player into, you know, his next career. So what's the transition been like for you as a tennis pro, and now you're, you know, this is your next career, I guess?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been pretty hectic. I hope you guys get to make it out to the Miami Open, but it's a pretty big event, a pretty big ordeal, and so it's not just as a player, sometimes I think you take that for granted. You think these things just happen without a lot of work, and it's pretty easy. And now I'm on the other side, and I realize that there's a ton of effort that goes into it. But it's also a lot of fun, especially at the new venue, at the Hard Rock Stadium. And now part of my job is listening to the players' complaints, requests, what they're happy with, all their comments. And the great thing is their complaints I get to say yes to, or their requests I get to say yes to so many of them, because we've got the capabilities to do nearly anything with the space that we have at the Hard Rock Stadium.
Do you hear complaints from players now that you used to complain about when you were a player, and now you understand why things are the way they are?
Oh, yeah, and I sympathize with them, and the good thing is, I hope, is that when they hear it from me and when I tell them, they know that when I say, hey, look, I tried, there was nothing I could do about this. A lot of times it's with scheduling. They want to be at a certain time on a certain court. And that's been probably my biggest eye-opener, is how much goes into the scheduling. I thought, okay, I'm probably going to play third match on this court, and that'll probably happen. And, you know, they'll just put out the schedule whenever. And I didn't realize how many people it takes and how much goes into making the schedule to try to make everyone happy. And you got to make the tournament happy. You got to make the players happy. You got to make the media happy. You got to make the international media happy. You got to make the ticket sales people happy. So trying to make everyone happy, you realize pretty quickly it's impossible to make everyone happy. So you got to kind of do your best, have a lot of compromises.
I'm coming out to the tournament tomorrow. I've gone for the last several years at Key Biscayne, the Miami Open. It's a great event, but I'm very excited that it's at Hard Rock now. Forget that it's closer to where I live. Forget that part. But, you know, at Key Biscayne, traffic getting there was always a major, major issue. And now, I'm looking forward to seeing it in person. But tell us a little bit about what the venue looks like and entails for people who are either going this weekend or considering going in the coming weeks.
Well, first of all, if you've gone to Dolphins games there and you expect to just see the big stadium and a parking lot, you're going to be in for an amazing surprise because the outside, the part of what used to be the parking lot, looks absolutely nothing like a parking lot now. They've got Spanish steps, they've got a grove, they've got fountains, they've got Kiki's on the river, they've got Casa Tua, they've got Novacento, they've got amazing restaurants, bars, grills, areas, like a little kids area to play in a little ball pit. Got a place you can grab a picnic basket, take it and eat it anywhere on the grounds. It's really pretty incredible on the outside, and we had a lot of input from Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, who partnered with IMC to make this happen, and he was involved in every step of the way, picking out the tile that you'll see on the ground out there, picking out the flowers, all the flowers and the landscaping out there. It's pretty impressive. I got to say, I understand that there are a ton of people that were skeptical last year to say we're putting up this world-class facility in a parking lot. And I understand that sounds crazy and it's not easy to wrap your head around. But when you see it, you'll be, in my opinion, you'll be incredibly impressed.
And do we know how many seats the stadium court holds? Because like I was explaining earlier, I think one side of the court is the actual stadium seats, but the other side are like auxiliary bleachers.
Yeah, and that's another thing. We couldn't make it. We didn't want to put it in the middle of a 60,000-seat arena because that just doesn't make sense for tennis. So it is, like you said, it's on one side, and then there's the temporary stands around it, which as well do not look temporary. It looks like a permanent stadium, but it's amazing they put it up in just a few months. And it seats about the same number as last year, the stadium at Crandon Park. It seats about 13,800. But the good thing is, as long as, you know, that we kept about the same feel and the same size for there, but we added to all the outer courts. So there's 5,000 that can sit on the grandstand instead of about 3,000. There's 3,000 on court one instead of about 1,500 or maybe even less at Crandon Park. And there's a lot of seating. We've gotten a lot of comments about that people can watch the practices. So there's seating to watch people practice. So you got Roger going out to practice, or you got Sasha Zverev or Serena or Venus or someone going out to practice, and the fans can see them up close, you know, see what they do when their guard's down a little bit and how they get ready for their matches. So it seems like the fans are liking that a lot. And that's a good thing. They just get to see a little bit more of their personality as opposed to when they're out there and so focused and so serious on the match.
You mentioned Roger, and I know that Roger's over there, and your greatest match you've ever played, you said, was against Roger Federer. And I was wondering personally, when you walk by him, I know there's a lot of trash talking that goes on, but I see tennis as a little bit more of a gentleman's sport for some reason. I know you have your guys like McEnroe who are crazy, but I kind of categorize it like golf, and it seems like it's a little bit more of a gentleman's sport. Do you guys still talk trash, or do you let Roger know that you got him back in the Olympics?
Some guys might still talk trash. I there's no chance I can talk trash to Roger, because actually someone asked me that, you know, wasn't a tennis fan. We were doing the ribbon cutting, and like, oh, did you ever play against Roger? I said, yeah, actually, I beat him. I said, I beat him once. And then the other nine times, he kicked my butt. So I can't really talk trash when I beat him 1 out of 10 times.
Yeah, but that one time.
The Olympic stage.
That was a good. How many sets did you beat him in?
Two. I've been in straight sets in Beijing and the Olympics. It was, that was definitely as well as I could have played against him, but they were. There were plenty of times I thought I was playing as well as I could, and he still got me because he's, I do still talk to him a decent amount, and I'm so impressed by what he's doing. I told him actually when he came out and practiced on Monday, if he knew it was going to be a rain out on Tuesday, and I said, first of all, it's incredible he's doing what he's doing and playing, but he played a 3-set final in Indian Wells and was out practicing the next day here. I said, 37 years old, I don't know how you could do that. My body hurts going out and playing one set these days and trying to come back the next day. So he's incredible for how he's been able to keep his body prepared for this kind of a grind.
We got James Blake here with us. He's now the tournament director of Miami Open, right down the road from us, Hard Rock Stadium. It's the first year, first of many, many years, certainly, that the Miami Open will be at Hard Rock Stadium. You should go check it out. I've been several times in the past. I'm going for the first time this weekend, and from everything I see, the venue looks absolutely beautiful. How old were you, James, when you had your first, like, big-time match, okay? It was a big tournament and against, like, a high-profile tennis player. How old were you?
I think I was about 21, and I was against Pat Rafter. Was probably my biggest one in Cincinnati, a Masters 1000 stadium court. It was on ESPN. It was so for me that was a big deal. He was the number one in the world, former number one in the world. I think at that time he was maybe two or three, and it was a close match, 7-6, 6-2, and I can't say more enough about how nice of a guy Patrick Rafter is. And like you said, it's a gentleman's sport. He was a true gentleman. After the match, he shook my hand and said, "Hey, you know, the only reason you didn't win that match is because you didn't believe you could." And, you know, that gave me so much confidence to say that, okay, I belong in the locker room with these guys and I belong on these courts because this guy is as good as they get, absolute first ballot Hall of Famer. And he's telling me that I could have actually beaten him today. And that made me feel really good. And it kind of launched my confidence for that next year and kind of started me off on the right track.
Is that a common thing? Like, you remember the score in the sets. Is that a common thing for tennis players to know the score?
For some, it's actually probably a sickness for too many of us, is remembering, especially the losses, remembering exactly the score and thinking about. I can remember points from a lot of matches that went on, and then there's some that completely flip your mind that you don't even remember you played because you played so many. But there's a lot that do stick, and when they stick, they're in there for good.
Do tennis players play ping pong?
Some do. We're all, I'd say all of us are okay at it. Some a little better than others. Some maybe take those skills and try to translate it more to beer pong. Ping pong is definitely something a lot of people want to challenge us to. There was a ping pong night at my kid's school, just a little thing to raise money for the school. And I definitely got recruited pretty hard by some of the other dads to be their partner on the for ping pong night.
And how'd you do? Were you a disappointment?
Sadly, I was disappointed because I missed it. It's actually going on while I'm here in Miami, so I'm missing it. But I hope they raise plenty of money for the school. And if I'm around for next year when it goes on, I'll definitely see if I can live up to my sort of top seed billing.
Do you still play? Do you get out every now and then and play maybe with family, friends?
I'd say every now and then is a good way to put it. I've played tennis now maybe once a month. My kids are still little. They're 6 and 4. When they get a little older, I hope they – I think they're going to be athletic in some way. I'm not going to push them towards tennis, but if they want to do something else, I'd be really happy. But if they want to play tennis, then I'm sure I'll be getting out and playing with them.
What was your favorite tournament to play in?
I love the U.S. Open. I grew up in Connecticut, just an hour from there. I was born in New York, so I had a ton of family and friends that were in the area and would come out and watch, and I just absolutely loved that feeling.
So, again, James Blake here with us, former great tennis pro and now the tournament director for the Miami Open. Finally, before we wrap it here, are you willing to pick a winner on the men's and the women's sides? Like, who are the big favorites for the tournament right now?
Oh, it put me on the spot. I mean, I'm trying to make everyone happy, so it's tough for me to pick someone that's going to win. I'd say, don't want to pick Roger. I got to pick Roger. He's a good friend of mine. He's the greatest of all time, I think. But,
and how about the women?
I'll pick Roger on the men's side and on the women's side. Serena's won it so many times. She's local. She's part owner of the Dolphins. Got to give her the hometown favorite.
Is there any other athletes that crossed over that you know of, or that can play currently that are really good tennis players? Because I don't really know of any.
Oh, you mean like from other sports?
Yeah, like hockey players, baseball players. You know, people that are be swinging stuff.
Because they love playing golf. You know, like everyone likes. Yeah, that's a good question, James.
Well, I'd say actually the one I know that's a good tennis player is a golfer, actually, Sergio Garcia. He's a friend of mine that just loved tennis and come out and watch, and then he's played from young, and he used to hit with him sometimes. He'd always come to Wimbledon. Him and Marty Fish and I were good friends. They play golf together all the time, and he'd come out and play tennis. He was a good player. I've heard Matt Kuchar is pretty good, and You know, who else is really good is Gavin Rossdale.
Really?
The Bush singer.
The singer for he's so funny. He's this rock star. I don't want to kind of blow him up a little bit, but he's a rock star. You think he's so, you know, hardcore, and then he comes off the court or he comes off the stage and he's got this British accent and he's so polite and he's so nice. And it's not at all what you expect of the rock star that's supposed to be, you know, getting wasted, trashing hotel rooms and all this kind of stuff. He's just as nice and polite as can be and loves tennis.
Matt Kuchar, lousy tipper, though.
I did not know that. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Mexican thing.
Well, listen, James, best of luck with the tournament here. Like I said, I'm going out this weekend. It looks fantastic. So hopefully you guys get great crowds over these couple weeks.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
All right, James, take care. That's James Blake right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.